The Diner is brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Go to audiblepodcast.com/thediner and get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial.
Listen, America, come closer. You in your home, and you speeding along the highways or riding the trains and skyways. Listen wherever you are. We bring you good news.
Excuse me, that's my seat, yeah. Well, yes, it actually does have my name on it. See, right there? Yes, that is my name. Bosco Restaurant Supply, Mr. Bosco Restaurant Supply, Toledo, Ohio. No, there, see, James? Yeah, see, yes, it's a free country, nominally. I mean, there have been curtailments on our liberty, but... all right, I'll sit over here. That's what I get for not showing up on time.
You're late!
Now I got the breathy white people's chorus giving me guff. They're all back there, ape to the booth. Hey, what's crack-a-lagging in the world of ensemble a cappella announcements?
Loser!
What's the matter with you guys? Why are you in such a bad mood, for heaven's sakes?
The weather sucks!
Well, there's that, but it could be worse. I mean, it's cold. It's not that warm, I'll grant you that, but...
Well,
yeah, but it's 45 degrees. It's 21 a couple of days ago. 21 degrees. When you look at it, it's 21. You know it's that the next thing you're going to get used to is 19. It's like gas prices in reverse, and then it's going to be 19 below, and there's nothing you can do about it because here it comes, and you're in for the duration. But, oh, there's a certain sort of stark beauty to November this time of the year. And by stark beauty, I mean, of course, a soul-scouring bleakness without respite that reminds one of the grave that yawns beyond for all of us. But that said, the leaves, for example. There's no leaves on any tree. A week ago, I swear, 60 to 70% of the leaves around here were attached to trees the way they ought to be. But as I was driving here today, I saw that the wind that came through the other day had just absolutely denuded every single tree of its foliage and dumped them all on the ground. And then you would watch them sometimes chase each other around in circles when the wind comes up. You always like that. It's like God stirring the drink with an invisible finger. And you think about what it must have been like to be a caveman, a Neanderthal. That's right, a Neanderthal. Not a Neanderthal. We're supposed to say tall now. Apparently the Neanderthal American community will send you nasty letters if you don't pronounce it correctly. I remember hearing on National Public Radio at some point somebody saying, well, we have new theories about the brain development of the Neanderthals. And then I heard somebody else say, the Neanderthals. And I realized that's what every educated person has to say now. Oh, the Neanderthals who worshipped the planet Uranus and then moved to Beijing. No, the Neanderthals worshipped Uranus and they went to Peking. Okay, that's the way I was brought up. That's the way it's going to be. And it's Burma, not Myanmar. Anyway, you have some creature who's staring out the cave and sees the leaves move of their own accord, questions the very nature of the wind itself. How could you not ascribe this to some supernatural force that shapes your entire world? And then, of course, the civilizations become more sophisticated. They develop gods for wind. And I don't know if the Romans had a god for wind. If they did, they probably had the sense of humor to ascribe him as the patron god of politicians. But they had gods for all sorts of things. Household gods. Oy, gavay. Cabal. They had Janus, for example. Janus was the god, among other things, of doorways. Now, you've You're really reaching for it when you got to have a god for a doorway. I understand the concept. It's very philosophical. He had two faces, and the doorway faces both ways. It's an entrance for some, it's an exit for others. But once you get away from monotheism, you're pretty much opening yourself up to things like gods of doorways. And if you have a god for the doorway, come to think of it, why wouldn't you have a god for the doorknob? Right? Wouldn't that also be highly symbolic in need of a patron god for the house? What's the matter? You look like you got a cold. Yeah, well, you know, didn't give enough propitiatory offerings to the god of the doorknob, and then I touched it, and somebody must have sneezed on his hand and touched it too, and I touched my nose then, now I got a cold. You'd also have to have a god for hinges, I believe. And so the act of oiling the hinges would be a religious act. As a matter of fact, if you have patron household gods for every single object around you, then it would seem that the very act of doing daily house cleaning would be a religious experience. You wouldn't have to save it all up for Sunday and get there and sit in the pew in your itchy church pants. You could just get all your worshiping and God-satisfying out of the way by doing the dishes and dusting and making happy the gods of clean surfaces, rectangular-shaped clean surfaces, probably a different one for circular tables. Anyway, I don't believe that the Romans believed in most of this stuff. I think most of them just said, yeah, well, probably Prime Mover, maybe Venus, but the rest of these guys, I don't know. Never really personally got, mystical feeling when I was contemplating the god of the chamber pot, you know? I don't even want to meet him. I don't know what to give him. I mean, what do you give the god of the chamber pot other than what you give the god of the chamber pot? Surely he's got to be tired about that by now. Anyway, what was I doing? Oh, I was ordering some food. Right. Let's see. I'll get the... Wait a minute. Where's the menu? This is not. Oh, they did it. They did it. They did away with the menus. I saw them working on the computer last week. There's a Cray. There's an old Cray mainframe in the basement of the diner, and I saw them bringing in some IBM Big Iron from the 60s with the reel-to-reel tapes. And I wonder what sort of upgrades they were doing and why the diner needed that sort of computational power. And now I know they've done away with the menus and they've replaced them with iPads. So I have to enter my meal order on an iPad. That's why there's been no waitress around. Are there any waitresses around? Did they fire them all except for one? Oh, this is horrible. All right. Opening screen. Yes, I want breakfast. Beep. Okay. New screen. Eggs. Yes, eggs. Enter number of eggs. Okay. New screen. Type of eggs. Whites only. Egg substitutes. Regular eggs. Quail eggs. No, I don't quail eggs. Ostrich. No, I'm not that hungry. Regular eggs. Okay. Scrambled or easy. Okay. And a side of bacon, which is not on the side, actually. Well, it is on the side relative to the eggs, but it's still contained within the general plate, so I wouldn't call it a side. And send. And error. Okay, let's oh, good. Go to the back screen. Oh, none of my stuff was left. All right, interested in eggs. Scramble. And do you want to send? Yes, I want to send. And send. Okay. Hey, this doesn't work. There's a message here that says, client not found. So either you have enabled drunk Perry Mason mode, or it's just not working. Hello? I got the cook's attention now. It's not sending the order. It what? Well, yeah, there's an error code. I wanted two eggs. Okay, it's error code B6KLO. E as in eggs, S as in some eggs, and 493Z, and then it looks like shift 8 with that little dot thing with the edges on it, like a nunchuck, asterisk, I guess. Right, okay. All right, so that'll give you my order then, that code. Oh. No, I don't want to make a trouble ticket. I want breakfast. Looks like I have to enter a support ticket here. Will they debug my order? Great.
What do you think of this new system, guys?
Bogus! Well, we're on the same page there. All right, let me play some music here while I try to figure this out. And at least the jukeboxes are still the jukeboxes. They haven't converted that to an iPad yet. Let us go to D1.
This world is in a hell of a fix. It is a fact that you already know. At the swift pace we seem to be traveling, we are guilty of making it go.
We want things updated and streamlined. Don't want to live in the old-fashioned way. We want to keep up with the trend of the times. We are vain and make mistakes every day.
When a teenager gets out of line, we complain. What's the world coming to? Our actions are carefully observed by them. They may do things that they see us do.
We may ill-treat our neighbors or do evil deeds, and wear dresses as short as a blouse, try to impress someone of our youthfulness, and our old bones are aching for hours.
We wonder why children stay. We try to advise them, but it is of no use. This world is really in a hell of a fix. We plead guilty and take our share of the blame when we search our own hearts and not others. We have
with you there. Jeez, why is everybody in such a low mood today? Maybe it's too much brown. I don't mean UPS. I mean just the general brownness of the world. Everywhere you look, brown. You go to the stores to maybe buy a sweater, it's brown. You look at the ground, it's brown. You go to the grocery store, that turkey looks good, but it's brown. I actually expect Oreos to be brown in the middle this time of the year. Oh, they'll go orange for Halloween. And come the holiday season, they'll have green and red filling. But I don't even know if Oreos gone so far as to have a brown filling inside. You know, why do we have to accept the fact that it's fall heading into winter? Really? I mean, all the things that we enjoy about... nobody's listening to me. All the things that we enjoy about summer. A hot dog is timeless. Apple pie is timeless. Iced tea with a little sugar in it. There's absolutely no reason that we have to knuckle under to the regimen of brown and accept it. Let's I'm going to order, well, I can't because I'm still getting an error code on this, but if I did, I would order apple pie and a hot dog and some iced tea and some ice cream and anything else that reminds me of summer, okay? There's no reason that psychologically you can't pretend that you are in a summertime environment. And think back to yourself of the green and verdant world with a streaming sun hot on your skin. You can feel the sun blaring like trumpets. Why not? That's what I'm going to do. All right. Psychologically, I'm there. Psychologically, I've cast off brown, and I'm thinking summer. Let's go to the jukebox. Let's go to F1. Mungo Jerry. Mungo Jerry? Really? All right, in the summertime. What? No! Man, if Mungo Jerry can't even be depended upon to give you a summertime feel, horrible as it may be in its 1970s glory, then there's no hope. So they had a follow-up to Summer in the Summertime called Summer's Gone. Yeah. I almost want to listen more to see if their moral calculation vis-a-vis the female sex changed with the seasons. Because as you know, in the summertime in the original Mungo Jerry song, they had a very enlightened attitude toward women. If her daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If her daddy's poor, just do what you feel. Sterling lads. All right. Well, who am I to fight it then? Well, we learn about ourselves, don't we? We learn what sort of stuff we're made of as we face the breeze. Tears streaming from our eyes. It's a good time, actually, to walk around crying outside. I noticed that. I was walking around downtown in the wind, and it's like walking into just, invisible birds with their beaks pecking at your eyeballs, and tears are streaming down my face, and everybody else, too. And I'm thinking, somewhere around here is somebody who's really unhappy, and nobody knows. It's a great time to go out in public and be conspicuously lachrymose, crying. All right. Well, my order did get sent in. I was able to find the error code, and they put that in the system, and they checked the logs, and they did find in the logs that I had placed the order, and now they're trying to figure out exactly what it means, precisely, because it got garbled. I really didn't want scrambled bacon. So I'm just waiting for that now here. So, I don't know. Once they get the bugs out of the system, every rollout is like this, right? And I guess that even though there's absolutely no need whatsoever to replace all the menus and the waitresses with an iPad-based touch or screen ordering system, I guess that's the future, and we must acquiesce to it. I've used acquiesce twice. It's just not my day. Well, let us care. The devil was that? Well, unless we're being scanned by V'ger, I think I recognize that sound. It's the cray in the basement of the diner indicating it's had a system failure. And I'm the only one around here who has any experience with that thing, so I better go down to the basement and see what I can fix. Because I don't know, why do they need a cray computer in a diner anyway? Why do they need any of this sort of... I know they can buy one if they want. It's a free country with incremental diminutions of liberty, but, you know, sometimes you feel like you're living in 1984. Well, come to think of it, no. There weren't any computers in 1984. Isn't that odd? It's not that Orwell couldn't have seen such a thing, just that there weren't. There were telescreens, but no computers. Why? Because they didn't need any. They were able to keep their boot on the face of the people in perpetuity with a very low-tech system. You don't need computers to abridge everyone's right. What really helps, when you think about it, is not the words in the computers, but the words out of people's mouths. If you take away what people are able to say and think, if you don't give them a word for the thought, if you don't even give them a word for liberty, do they actually remember the concept itself? That is, it's one of the great themes of George Orwell's 1984, and a lot of people talk about it, but not many people have read it, and if you don't have the time to read it, you might want to listen to it, and that's why if you go to audiblepodcast.com/thediner, audiblepodcast.com/thediner, you can listen to 1984. Read by David Niven, among other people. Now you don't have your real choice there. You can't get it read by Benny Hill, for example. Nor can you have it read by Graham Chapman, which would be amusing in that sort of mocking, educated Etonian voice of his. But you can hear Niven read 1984 and give voice to the words that Orwell wrote, which, well... prophetic, yes, but I remember something that somebody said in 1984 when I was in college and we were writing, and somebody made yet another obligatory Orwell reference, and he said, you know what, too many trips to the Orwell. The only clever thing I ever remember him saying. He later wrote a book about cats. Anyway, you can't find that on Audible Or maybe you can. Go there. Take a look. You've got a free 30-day trial and a free audiobook to download and give the service a try. Choose wisely. Choose well. All right, I'm heading down now to the Cray in the basement. But first, this important message.
Waiter! Waiter! Bill, did you ever see such poor service? I'm going to call a manager.
Take it easy, Walt. What's mostly wrong is your grouch.
I'm sorry, Phil, but my digestion is so upset.
What you may need for your poor digestion is something that works after nature's own order. Try Carter's Little Liver Pills.
Good advice. When your digestion is upset and you feel headachy and irritable, take Carter's Little Liver Pills. You see, each day, nature normally produces about 2 pints of a vital digestive juice to help digest your food. If nature fails, your food may remain undigested, leaving you headachy and irritable. To feel cheerful and happy again, take Carter's Little Liver Pills. They increase the flow of this vital digestive juice quickly, often in as little as 30 minutes, and you're on the road to feeling better. Don't depend on artificial aids to counteract indigestion when Carter's Little Liver Pills aid digestion after nature's own order. Take Carter's Little Liver Pills as directed. Get them at any drugstore.
Well, good news. I'm down here in the basement of the diner looking at the Cray, and I think it's going to be pretty easy to solve. I think the system crashed because too many people were trying to order breakfast at the same time. Three of them killed the system. And there just wasn't the capacity to handle that many orders. So what I've done is I've taken a very thin wire through which the orders were going, and I've replaced it with a much thicker one. So all the bits should be able to get through without a problem. I believe I have patched that glitch to my satisfaction. That's just a question of rebooting the Cray. Forgot that was the startup chime. All right, I just have to adjust the date and time preferences here. There's a panel marked date and time. Turn this knob.
1980.
Well, that's not going to do. Got to... 1981. That's a little better. Just, man, this thing is stuck. Well, that's, I just want to do this for every year. It's a turn a little. Okay, well, I'm getting there. One more.
1984.
And the knob snapped off in my hand. Great. So I guess it's going to be 1984 for breakfast. Well, how different can that possibly be? You know, it was pretty much the same back then. You had your bacon, your eggs, your pancakes, your hash browns, all the rest of those things. So maybe we'll go back to some old-style breakfast with lots of cholesterol, lots of grease, lots of fat, and all that wonderful stuff. All right, I'm going to head back up and see if I can finally get to do something about those that scrambled bacon I was so keen to get. No, it's a 2-minute hate rally. Everyone's standing on the counters and tables and screaming at Goldstein. Oh, we've gone back to 1984. Yeah, pretty much. This is horrible. Apparently, I sent everything back. I had no idea that the Cray had that power. But what's going to become of me when they find out that I'm actually not of the... Well, I don't know. He probably got it scheduled for me pretty time soon. I've got to get downstairs. I've got to get downstairs back to the Cray. Oh, they're quiet. All right, I got to get out of here. I got to go back. Okay, I just have to find a way to get that knob to work so I can change the date back. But the knob broke. The knob... broke. Oh, man, if ever there was a time to know who the Roman god for knobs was, I have no idea. Knobus? Help me, Knobus. Help me. I pledge my... No, I'm not going to pledge my eternal soul to Knobus. Just to...
Well, listen, I know I really hate to leave it here because as long as the Kray is sending out this spatial distortion field and we're all in 1984, for all I know, the entire planet is consumed with oligarchical totalitarianism and constant warfare, and that mechanized slaughter has engulfed the globe. On the other hand, I think I ought to be able to get that breakfast when I get this thing working. Scrambled bacon, you know, it actually sounds pretty good when you think about it. A little peppers and some salsa. No, I've got to focus. I've got to find the pliers. I've got to fix this knob. I've got to get us back to the year that isn't 1984. Hell, I'll even take 1983. I got dumped in that year. It was awful. It was horrible. But I forgive her. So anyway, yes, thanks for coming by, and I hope by next week we've got this solved. By all means, please do stop in. I'm James Lilacs, and this has been The Diner for 1999. Who knows? Big. You know, I could see how somebody could kind of love that crazy guy.
The Diner is brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Go to audiblepodcast.com/thediner and get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial.